Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number two rolling along this morning. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb now that Ron's back from a day off yesterday. By the way, we are off Memorial Day Monday, so we'll have a three-day weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday of next week. Gabe Lax is going to join us in hour three. We're going to talk some baseball with him. As the AL East is getting interesting. Rays lost last night 20-1 is to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Close like game.
Yeah, I know.
They were in it.
There's a game getting away from you, and then there's getting shellacked 20-1. That's like, you know, like,
and
all
that's,
right.
And that's usually the game where you're like, hey, let's use Timmy, the utility man, as the pitcher.
No, it's not indicative of who we are, but we just got bombed.
You don't put any of your real pitchers into the game anymore.
This was 11-1 going into the ninth inning. And you think, like, if you're the Blue Jays, you're like, oh, let's get the hell out of here. You know, it's, all right, we're up 11-1.
Yeah, game over.
Game over. They scored 9 runs in the ninth inning just to make it interesting, just to add more flavor to it. They had 27 hits in the win against Tampa Bay. But the Orioles did lose yesterday in 10 innings to the Yankees, but the Orioles have over 30 victories on the season, and they are closing the gap to Tampa Bay. When the Rays were off to that unbelievable start to the season, it was like, oh, they're going to run away with this division. They had an 8-game lead after like 20 games into the season. I mean, they were killing everybody. Now the Orioles have got it down to 3, and the Yankees are 5, right behind them. The Yankees went from last place to just 5 games out in the division. So we'll talk to Gabe Lax in hour 3 about Major League Baseball. Michael Block, the hero of the PGA Championship, the club pro from Southern California, has been offered $75,000 for his iron that made the hole-in-one. You like that story?
Dude, I went down a wormhole, and it was probably one of the best wormholes yesterday.
Which was?
We're just watching Michael Block videos of what's transpired from the last 48 hours.
I know. It's great, isn't it?
I mean, just from, you know, the hole-in-one to the up and down to being invited. You've seen that video, right?
Yeah.
Where he got invited to the Colonial. And he just simply goes, you better not be calling me to tell me what I think you're going to tell me. He goes, well, I am going to tell you what you're thinking. I'm just like, every little step is like, my God, this guy truly is living a fairy tale right now.
He is really living a sportsman's dream. I mean, it's crazy because we talked about this on Monday. When you have a story of a minor leaguer getting promoted to the big leagues and he has like 3 hits and a home run and whatever, It's a great story, but this isn't that. He's not on the minor league tour. He's not touring at all. He plays in events. Don't get me wrong. He plays in events in Southern California, but he's a teaching pro. That's what he is. This would be the equivalent of like a college coach getting to the majors, like a 35-year-old college coach. Like I had a baseball dream, but I didn't make it. And now I'm coaching the Wyoming Cowboys or whatever. And then somehow the Rockies get a hold of him and he's coming up to the plate and he's on a 10-game hitting streak. I mean, this guy went from teaching guys for $150 a pop to making a hole in one on Sunday and being the toast of golf. And now he's off. Somebody wants $75,000 for his iron, his 7-iron that he used to make the hole in one. Now, I will tell you this. I think that that's awesome because here's the thing. He's not rich. So this is real money. This isn't like Rory McIlroy being offered, you know, $50,000 for a club, and he goes, nah, I don't need $50,000. I'm going to keep it. Or I'll donate it to the club's museum or whatever. He's earning real money that he's living on. I mean, he's not a rich man by any means. So this $50,000, $75,000 is really good money for him. But I wonder how much Oak Hill would like that club. How much maybe the PGA as an entity wants that club to be put in its Hall of Fame or museum or whatever they have, you know, because that's what these guys do all the time.
Well, maybe Mickelson's iron. Doesn't he want the club still?
Doesn't he want the club? Yeah. I mean, Mickelson's 6-iron that he hit at the Masters in 2010, where he hit it from the pine straw and he knocked it on the green in 13. That's it. Like that's at Augusta National. It's like in a hall of memories or whatever. Like Oak Hill might have a room like that for it, but I don't think they would pay for it. I don't think they pay for that stuff. I think the players give it to them So I wonder if they're going to be like, all right, well, we're going to have to give some money to this guy because he's being offered $75,000, and he's likely to take that given his salary at this public course in Southern California. $75,000 is a ton of money. I mean, I don't know what he makes. I don't know what he makes for a living, but he ain't making $2.2 million a year. But yeah, he's getting invited to all these things. And you know what else is cool about this, Ron? He gets paid. Like, if he makes the cut, he gets paid. He's not an amateur that gets no money. If he makes the cut at the Colonial, it's another huge payday. RBC Heritage in Canada, the Canada Open, invited him over. If he makes a cut, he'll get money. He might sign some endorsement deals. This is weird. Somebody was I was talking about this yesterday. There was some people want to they wanted Augusta to give him an exemption of the Masters. That I was like, come on now, slow down a little bit. Like, he's not going to Augusta. Like, he's a fine story, but Augusta prides itself on earning a trip to the Masters. That you don't get invited to the Masters just because the Masters wants you to play in it. You have to earn it. You have to have a criteria of why you're there in the first place. Sponsorship exemptions at other tournaments are totally fine. Like, when people say that if you give it to a teenager or like someone like Michael Block, you're taking a spot away, you're not taking a spot away. There is a certain amount allotted to these tournaments that they get. They can give it to whoever they want based on whatever they want. The only criteria is they've got to have a certain handicap. They got to be. You couldn't put Charles Barkley in the RBC Heritage as a competing golfer. You couldn't put me in as a competing golfer because you might like me or I might be friends with somebody. There's a criteria for it. You have to have a certain handicap. You have to be, you know, certain. But like, if there's a teenager that is playing, that played in the U.S. Amateur, and he's a hometown kid, Jordan Spieth went to go to the Byron Nelson a few times when he was young. This happens a lot, where a teenager, high school kid, you know, freshman in college or something, but he's local. He's a good player. He's world ranked in the amateur circuit. They get exemptions. Guy like Michael Block playing in Canada, he's not taking a spot away from a touring pro. He'll get to play because he gets to play. They invited him. It's their tournament. They can do whatever they want. But it's very unlikely that the powers that be at Augusta are going to invite this guy to play in Augusta.
Oh, come on.
I don't think so.
We need to have that storybook. Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, but no, they're not.
Keep
going
the
to.
Disney movie going. You know, but I mean, if he continues to be successful.
He can do it.
It's on him.
Yeah,
right
I mean,
now,
listen,
right?
Listen, Phil Mickelson won the Northern Telecom Open as a sophomore or junior in college. I mean, he won it as a college kid. He won a PGA Tour event as a college kid, and that opened up doors that even as an amateur and winning the U.S. Amateur, there were doors that opened to him in terms of the tour because he was a tour winner that the U.S. Amateur didn't. Like, if, you're right. Like, if he won the Colonial, he gets to go to the Masters. Like, that's it. Like, and yeah. If he plays in more of these events and does really, really well, his world golf ranking is already jumped into the 500s.
Right.
Like just by that 15th place appearance, you know, it might take a little more. It might be more difficult to go from like 500 to 100. But if he does well at these sponsors exemption events, and by the way, they're only going to lead to more sponsor exemption events. And if he continues to play well, he might be in running to get exemptions into these majors by that alone.
Where does he need to finish in the Colonial?
That's a good question.
I mean, you know, because I mean, if he gets cut, was that the? I mean, that could be the end of the story.
Oh,
right?
if he gets cut, he'll go to the Canadian Open and play. But if he gets cut at the Colonial, he'll probably the story ends pretty quickly.
You know, but at the same time, I mean, if he ends up with like another top 15, top 50, I'll say top 50.
Oh, yeah.
50 performance. I mean, you're looking at it like, you know what? Still kind of relevant. Story's still there. I mean, because while you're doing, you're exempting him because you're trying to bring people to the course.
See, you know what I like about this story, man? I like this. I like it that he's 46 years old.
Yes.
He's not like a 25-year-old kid that had dreams and now he's teaching at some course in Sheboygan.
No, it's the
rookie. It is the rookie. That's exactly right. It's the rookie. He's a 48-year-old father, husband.
Yep.
You know, like, I'm just a family guy providing for my family. I make $150 when people book me for an hour of lessons. I run the golf shop.
He's done, like, I mean, what, this was his fifth PGA championship?
Yeah.
And first time he's made the cut?
First time he's made the cut.
I mean, he's done it every once in a while over the course
of the
year.
Yeah, that's what I was saying yesterday. Like, he's not completely new to this process.
Right.
He's actually a very, very good club pro. And among the club pro tournaments, he plays very well in them, and he's kind of a Southern California legend in the local. When you get to there's a certain level of golf where locally you play in tournaments.
Well, he has to be. I mean, he charges $150 for a 45-minute lesson.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you got to be good.
You got to be good. You got to be good.
You know,
so
I mean, if you can get away with charging that, people are booking you, and that's your sole income. It's not like he's working at a grocery store or something on the side. I mean, that's what he does for a living. It's just like, I just teach people how to play golf.
What they need is, and I what you need to do is, if you're a Rory McIlroy or a Justin Thomas, and you understand the importance of the history of the game, I don't know who offered him $75,000 for this club, and I don't know what they want to do with it. But if I was a very wealthy golfer, that I would say to him, don't sell that to some collector in Newbury, Connecticut. I'll buy it, and I'm going to donate it to the Hall of Fame or something. Like, your story needs to be preserved, and so I'll buy it from you, and I'll donate it to wherever it has to be. Because if you just sell it to a collector, who knows what they're going to do with it? And I'll buy it. We'll put it in a case. I'll get it to wherever I have to go. Because I think this is one of the most remarkable. I was talking about this yesterday, too. People were giving Jim Nance a bunch of business on Twitter, because he said, when they came back from commercial, he said this just seconds ago. And then when the ball was in flight, he said, and the fairy tale continues. Yeah. And people were like, now you're telling me it's an ace.
Right.
Like, now you're telling me this is going to end up in the hole. Like, wouldn't it have been better if you just kept your mouth shut and let me watch it go in the hole and have that euphoria like everybody else that it was around the green?
Yeah.
But now you've sort of telegraphed where this ball was going to end up.
And then as soon as it goes in the hole, you can say, and the fairy tale
continues.
Yeah,
exactly. But he went a little early.
Yeah.
And I said yesterday, there's zero reason for an announcer to tell a TV audience that it happened seconds ago. They don't know.
No, we have no idea.
No idea. You bounce around all the time. You show us stuff on delay all the time. Just do it there.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We had to take the day off yesterday with Ron not being here.
Sorry.
But we're back. No worries. We're back with the good, the bad, and the dumb. What's the good of the day?
Good of the day. Did you know Peyton Manning won his second Emmy in a row?
Wow, he did?
Yes, he won last year for the telecast of Monday Night Football with Peyton and
oh,
Eli.
Oh, so that won an Emmy last year.
That won an Emmy last year.
Okay.
Both Peyton and Eli won the Emmy. But Peyton won an Emmy this year for just outstanding TV analyst and basically doing the same thing with Manny Cast. But Eli did not win.
But
one.
Eli didn't win?
No.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. How did they? Oh, my God. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So Eli was quick to roast his brother on air. He says, man, I didn't think you could get an award for telling coaches to do something they already knew.
That sibling rivalry is great.
Oh, they're so much fun.
They're so much fun.
And now I'm excited to see the Manny cast, because Peyton's going to have them displayed somewhere, both of them.
Yeah, and I like it that Cooper's like above it all. Like, just
right.
Like, two kids.
Yeah.
But they
watch my son beat both of you.
That's right. Yeah. They'll have more Super Bowls than both of you combined. Yeah. All of that stuff is fantastic. That's great. But man, that's kind of weird, because I know Peyton is the more gregarious personality, but I thought they both were like Abbott and Costello.
Eli's came around.
Separate the two.
Those first couple of ones were kind
Without
of rough
question.
With Eli.
Yeah, Eli has definitely gotten better.
But now Eli's flipping off the cameras. I mean, he's comfortable in this role.
He's definitely gotten better as a personality than I ever thought he was going to be. When he was playing, he was never like that. But because Peyton Manning always did funny commercials, it wasn't like he was taking cameras into the Colts locker room or the Broncos locker room and doing funny stuff, but he would be part of their videos, like, to sell tickets. And he was, you know what I mean? He was always good with that.
His stardom rose from that, United Way?
Yeah, Saturday Night Live. Yeah, that was perfect. That was brilliant.
That was probably the best thing I've ever seen an athlete do.
Absolutely. And then Cut That Meat and all those MasterCard commercials that he was doing. But Eli I just never felt Eli had that same thing. And then there was a switch that went off, and he became this incredible personality where he is funny. He's very
They always seem very reserved. Like, yeah, even like just post-game interviews, there wasn't any charisma to him.
Yeah.
Where Eli had charisma all the time. So. Yep.
And you know, they try to they throw Cooper a bone. They get him in like his Caesars ads, and they put him on his game show and whatnot. But you know, there's only so much you could do, right? But yeah, good for Peyton Manning to win an Emmy. That's awesome. All right, so what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is the director of social media of Phoenix Sports. Now,
okay.
Phoenix Sports, I think it just might be like a website that chronicles all the sports in the Phoenix area. Anyway, she took on the biggest chief of them all.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes made a comment saying that, you know, the Kansas City Coyotes has a nice ring to it.
Oh, yeah. I saw him. He's very adamant that he wants the Coyotes to go to KC.
As everyone is. I mean, I've seen, our friend Patrick Creighton put out this whole long list of, hey, bring the Coyotes here. The Houston Arrows have a long tradition of hockey in Houston there. So, I mean, everyone's kind of looking at it because we learned and we after talking to Jeremy Roenick last week, I mean, there's nothing they can do. Phoenix is done. I mean, the Phoenix Coyotes has got to move. But anyways, back to the bad. So Patrick Mahomes said, Kansas City Coyotes has a nice ring to it. The director of social media, Phoenix Sports, her name is Michaela something. Tweeted back at him, maybe you should have control over your brother first before worrying about bringing a hockey team to Kansas City.
Oh, that got personal quick.
Yeah, it did.
But maybe she is very, very, very close to the Arizona Coyotes hockey team and felt like, you know what, you attack my hockey team, I'll attack your brother. It's the same thing in my mind.
Yeah, basically what she said was keeping Jackson Mahomes out of jail before recruiting the Arizona Coyotes to your city.
Oh. So a little fun sports banter took a dark turn and went to family drama and family history.
Michaela Perkins is her name. She is not backing down. She's fearless.
Wow. That seriously would be like if you were in a bar arguing about who's the greatest basketball player of all time, and then somebody goes, well, if your mother would get out of jail for selling drugs, and you're like, what? Like, how do you go from sports argument to something personal within your family?
Right.
That quickly. Like, it's like, wait a minute, hold on. We all agreed we weren't going to talk about my parents or my brother or my sister or my cousin. Like, we're just going to keep it in the sports world.
But
if you want to criticize me for something I did with the Kansas City Chiefs or a playoff game I lost or I don't know, whatever, but you went right to my brother. We went from talking about a relocating team to my brother. Like, that's kind of deep.
I know we've had this conversation before, but I do feel bad for Patrick Mahomes about this.
Yeah.
Because his brother is just, I don't even know what the proper word I can say on air.
Do about it. He's
no.
Control your brother.
I mean, he's living off his brother.
Right.
Right. I mean, Jackson is living off of Patrick. I mean, clearly. I mean, unless, he that many TikTok followers are paying his own way, but I mean, every single time you see him, he's in Patrick's house. I don't think he lives in his own, or maybe he does. I don't know.
There's nothing he can do about it.
No, there's nothing he can do about it.
Like
Jackson made a mistake. He could be in jail for a little bit, or probably like most celebs, go to that cush jail for 3 months and then be out.
Yeah,
and we won't even remember it or talk about it.
Wow. Well, like I said, maybe to her, Arizona Coyotes leaving is a big deal. Like, maybe she's a really big fan. And so
right.
Like, I'm offended by this.
Or
like,
maybe, or she's defending Phoenix Sports. Like, saying, come on, guys. We need to keep Phoenix Sports here in Phoenix.
Yeah, all you cities just chomping at the bit to get our team. Well, we haven't figured that out yet. So why don't you slow down a little bit until we can figure out maybe another alternative, which I don't think there is. But, don't get rid of us just yet. So, yeah. But I'm with you. I think it's sad, but they're likely to be on the verge of going somewhere else. I don't know where, but likely going somewhere else.
They can't stay in Phoenix, and that's the bottom line. I mean, can they sustain – I guess they are going to sustain another season at playing the Arizona State's ice rink in Tempe.
Unfortunately, unless you move in the overnight, like the Colts or whatever, you're going to have a – a period of time where you're going to be in a city knowing you're moving to another city.
Right.
You know, you have to set up things in the other city.
And I mean, and how are you going to win? I mean, you know, the owner's probably not, he's not going to spend any money knowing that, you know, they're playing in a 5,000 seat stadium that isn't probably drawing. You know, you might get 100 or 200 people in that stadium.
Now, do you think the owner would sell it, or do you think he would just go, I'm going to move with him? I'm taking my product and I'm going to stay on the team.
Know.
I'm going to move somewhere else.
I don't know. Is he originally from, I don't even know who owns it. I mean, is he originally from the Phoenix area, or I know that it's a, that the Coyotes, I remember seeing the stat that they've, I think they've had more owners than playoff series wins.
Yeah. Probably. Wayne Gretzky owned them for a little bit.
Yeah. And then Janet got in trouble,
right? Wasn't he part of the ownership group? Yeah. I know he ran a team. He coached the team, too, I think. Did he own him? I don't know.
I know. I think he did own him.
I think he did own him. I think
then,
it was
and then he ran into that I remember he ran into
problems. Yeah.
Not him. It was his wife, Janet. Right. Janet ran into, like, some gambling issues or something like that.
But you know what else is that team has been in that area a while. I mean, it's been there for a while. It's been there since the 90s.
Right.
So it's not like it's just got there and hasn't found a place. It's like it's been there for
1996.
96 is over, you know, over 25 years. That's been in that area. So it whether 10 people show up to a game or 100,000 people want to get into a game, it still means something to some people. Right? It like it's not everybody. There's going to be a group of people that are going to be devastated by the loss of this. It may not be everybody. Maybe a lot of people don't care. But it means something to some people, and maybe it means a lot to her. Maybe she's like, I'm a fan, I love hockey, and now it's out of my city. And it might be leaving my city, and I don't want you making fun of it with a tweet that sort of attacks my anxiety that one of my favorite things to do in the Valley of the Sun is going to be missing.
Well, a site called Arizona Sports, which might be the one that this social media director works for, said the mayor's encouraging Arizona Coyotes to look at Mesa, Arizona.
Okay.
Which isn't too far. I mean, it's like Phoenix is like this gigantic thing, and you know, all these little cities and towns are right around it. So,
well, you know, that's the thing. You know what? There's a big lesson in all this. It's like if you want to stay in an area as an owner, find your own public funding for private funding for a stadium, for a building. Everybody, when you go to the taxpayers are more than likely to say no if they don't really care about you. If you're an NFL team, they usually go, yes, please don't move the NFL team. But if you're a sport that, you know, people can live without, they'll say no. And then you have to make a decision. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue. We got the dumb to get to and the good, the bad, and the dumb, as we just did the good and the bad. But before we get to that, with so many bottles to choose from, there's always something new to try at Total Wine and More. How about a great Prosecco for under $8 or a French Rosé for under $7? With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly, B21. All right, so what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I don't know if you talked about this yesterday.
Yes, maybe.
Or you know, I know you probably touched on it a little bit on Monday. But it was Phil Mickelson's tweet from yesterday.
Phil Mickelson's tweet. No, I did not. But I did talk a little bit about his support for Liv and his anti-U.S.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what this tweet was. This tweet was 19 hours old now. And it says, love Liv or hate it, it's the best way tour to be your best in the majors.
Yeah.
Says enough events to keep you sharp, fresh, and ready, yet not be worn down from too many tournaments or obligations. 14 live events, 34 weeks left open to prepare for the four majors. Fact.
He's 100% correct.
This is the reason why I put this in the dumb. His tweet's not dumb. The PGA, for what they're making people do, you know, is becoming more and more evident. You're getting more and more light to it.
We did touch on this on Monday, in that guys like Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau and even like Sergio Garcia. Now, Garcia's different because he's not exempt from other majors. Masters, he gets to go. Patrick Reed is the same way. Dustin Johnson gets to go to the Masters and as a U.S. Open winner. He gets to go to the U.S. Open for a number of years and whatnot. But the reality of it is that if you are sharp in the majors, if you play well in the majors, you get exempt into the majors again. Yep. Top 10 get to come back. Top 5 get to go. Like the Masters, top 20, I think, get an invite back. And if you're Brooks Koepka, this is perfect. Like, there is no reason to go to tournaments you don't want to go to. You play on the LIV Tour 3 rounds, no cuts, make your money, play in the majors, win the majors. That's a life you're looking for. He's right. Phil's right. You don't have to do 30 events a year, for the love of Pete. You can just play in a bunch, and he's right. You get a bunch of time off to resharpen, refocus your game, but there's just enough tournaments to keep yourself competitively sharp, which is what you want to do.
I know we touched it on Monday. We were talking about the sports washing or, you know, Saudi Arabia. Like, that's probably why you hate it. But, I mean, this is – it's becoming more and more evident of what the PGA has been doing for years. I mean, I almost look at it as the NCAA now, you know, where NCAA was just making gobs and gobs of money off the name, image, and likeness of their athletes. And I feel like the PGA is kind of a similar entity now, where they were making all the money and forcing all their players, like, oh, no. We sold this tournament because you know, they wanted you. And so you have to go play. You have to go play this event. If you want your tour card to be active, you need to play in X amount of events throughout the year.
So you have to keep the card. You're right. You have to play in those events to keep your card. Yeah, you have to.
I mean, and it's just... God, I mean, you know, just, I mean, Phil's been relevant in the last two majors.
The thing that is, I think, that is becoming appealing is the time off, is the be able to take a break without feeling like something is in jeopardy. And the problem, the problem with the PGA Tour is, okay, look at race car drivers, for example. Okay, so you got a, I don't know, Kyle Larson. All right, now he is a race car driver that is under contract for a team. He has a boss. He works for the team that is paying him money to drive the race car. So when the NASCAR schedule is loaded, he has to go to every race. He's under contract to do that. We don't talk about Josh Allen being able to take week 5 off and week 7 off and week 9 off. He's contractedly obligated to play for the Buffalo Bills. He's on a team. He has a coach. He has an owner. He pays his paychecks. Golfers are independent contractors, so they're not employed by the PGA Tour. They're independent contractors. If they show up to an event and miss the cut, they don't get any money. That was something that they were trying to fix, to say, look, you know, I do have travel expenses, and I'm not Mickelson. I don't have my own jet. I'm a guy struggling on tour, and my expenses, they're pretty hefty. I'm taking my caddy with me. We're staying at this place for a week. I got to travel to the next place. And so guys are saying, look, there's a lot of tournaments. There's a tournament every week. And here's the thing. They're not all run by the PGA Tour. They're run by a group that wants golfers to come, and they've partnered with the PGA Tour, but golfers don't have to go to that event, right? When I was in Colorado, for example, the International was at a place called Castle Pines, which is just south of Denver. Tiger Woods went like the first couple of years when he was on tour in like the late 90s. Then he stopped going, and he never appeared again. And so they were begging. Mickelson had won the tournament, I think, twice. Phil found it a cool place to go, so he'd show up. They were giving these guys, they shower these guys with gifts for showing up. Like, what other sport do you get perks by showing up to work?
Right.
Right? I mean, like, the Bills don't give Josh Allen a couch or a new love seat or a car for showing up. Like, when a PG, for, like, he's under, he gets paid to show up to practice. When Mickelson shows up to like a place like the International, there's like a gift bag of stuff. Like, it's stuff he doesn't need, but still it's like, oh, my wife gets a beauty thing. My kids can go to the amusement park. There's a wine festival. I'm getting tickets to this spa that I can go on vacation. Like, every week they're being bribed to go play in events by the organizers of the events who want to sell tickets. And so what he's basically saying is, look, yeah, you have to play in the live events because you're you can't skip live events. You're under contract. But there's only 14 of them.
Yeah. It's not something every weekend.
Right. So it's not that big of a deal to go to 14 events and play if you're healthy. Now, if you're injured, you don't have to. But if you're healthy, you're expected to be in Singapore and Australia and Tulsa and Miami.
And maybe that's the hardest thing is that, you know, one tournament you can be in Tulsa, the next one you can be in Australia.
Right.
And that probably is, you know, weighs on you because you and I have, you know, lamented for years.
Yeah. It's not back-to-back weekends.
No, it's not back-to-back weekends.
You know, so you and you know, like you're gonna fly private, so you're gonna be in comfort. But you're right; it's a long flight.
It's a
long flight. But it's not the grind of the tour, which can really.
No,
wear
I mean
on
you look at these guys that you know just competed in the PGA Championship, and they're already most of them are playing this week.
Yeah, they're going to
you know,
they're going
starting
to Colonial.
Tomorrow playing the Colonial.
Uh huh. Ben Hogan's tournament. Ben Hogan scores.
No, now someone like Michael Block, I mean, yeah, that's a blessing.
Right.
But for someone like Phil, who has proved himself, you know, to be one of the greatest golfers of all time, I mean, that's where, you know, I'm looking at it like, God, I mean, he's 100% right.
There, yeah, and here, if Liv survived its opening salvo of sports washing and all this, like, it's going to be an attractive play. Once, we talked about it when it first came about last year. Once you get through the initial stigma of being a part of it, once it becomes part of the norm, then the PGA Tour really does have a problem. Because once people are like, no one's talking about sports washing and no one's talking about Saudi money and no one's talking about its revolution against the PGA Tour, when all of that calms down and a young golfer coming out of college who's got real skills, like Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas level skills, and he gets to choose between one or the other, If Liv is able to convince the world golf rankings that their tournament matters, that becomes a more attractive place in the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour has heritage, it has history. Some of its tournaments are awesome, like the Waste Management Open in Phoenix is a great venue. But you can give that up if you can still play in the majors and play a limited schedule that sharpens your game and keeps you in the majors and make a boatload of money more than you can on the PGA Tour. But Phil, it feels like Phil is willing to dive right in and fight the good fight. Just like what he believes is the good fight. I'm not saying it's the good fight. I still don't really like Liv, but
no, and I think and you know
in his world he's willing to
again,
fight.
Again, I think the biggest problem that we have with Liv is who you know where the money is coming from.
Right, of course.
You know, and if it was backed by you know like I've said many times like a Swiss bank or German banker or German real estate or a French guy who owns a bunch of wineries, I don't think we would have as many issues with it. I think it's just that, you know, it's backed by the Saudi Arabians and there's a lot of, you know, political questions about what they've done that, you know, kind of make us feel uneasy.
Yeah. And the money was obscene. It's like they're giving $200 million for a 51-year-old golfer for his image.
Just to get that name out
there.
They
can't even get on TV. Like it's, weird, you know,
that's why I don't think it's going to last long. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I think the idea of it might last long. I just don't know if the Saudi Arabians are going to keep backing it.
Listen, the Saudi Arabians are not foolish with their money. I mean, they have plenty of it, but they're not just going to give it away for nothing. I mean, they want something out of the deal, right? And what they want is they want positive exposure for their country so that economic businesses will hold major conventions there, and bring economic companies to their country. Like, whatever it is their goal is, they're not going to throw $1 billion at a golf tournament that nobody cares about. After a while, they're going to go, yeah, we're as smart with our money as anybody. You know, like, you know, Elon Musk could afford it, but he's not going to put $2 billion into something that's worthless. So, yeah, it does have to get on TV. It does have to have a better media presence. But Phil is right about the schedule, that's for sure. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, continuing along this morning. Thanks for joining us. Gabe Lack's going to join us hour three. We'll talk some baseball with him as we are reaching Memorial Day weekend. And it's always, you know, Memorial Day weekend, NBA playoffs. We might not have the NBA playoffs during Memorial Day weekend. But there'll be baseball. There'll be baseball, plenty of baseball. But NHL Stanley Cup playoffs continuing. Vegas leading Dallas 3-0. Florida leading Carolina 3-0. That those series could be wrapped up too in a quick amount of time.
I think I just find it amazing that, you know, if, say, Miami wins tomorrow night.
Right.
They play tomorrow night, right? Yeah.
Yep, Thursday night.
Thursday night. If they win tomorrow night, I mean, it doesn't really matter about anything. This NBA Finals doesn't start until November 1st.
That's
or
it.
June 1st.
June 1st. That's it. They got to go a whole week with
I
nothing.
Mean, for the Nuggets, I mean, they got like 10 days off.
Yeah. This is very similar when the Rockies made the World Series in 2007. They swept, Arizona. And they swept Arizona in four games. And then had a nine-day layoff until the Red Sox were wrapping up their series and for the World Series. I mean, and it was a whole long bit of time.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't know. I mean, I understand.
Oh, no. I mean, we wanted seven-game series, right?
Well, I understand the thought process. You know, it's like you got to account for, you know, just in case it goes seven games, we got to account for that.
Right.
But I almost wish it was like a flexible date as well, because if both teams sweep, why do we need to wait? You know, if Miami won last night, I mean, NBA, it's almost like you lose all the momentum of everyone watching the NBA.
Oh,
it's
no,
like,
no question. There
a week
is
and a half
a,
later, it's like, oh, here's the finals, guys. Oh, it's still going on? I thought we were done.
There's some layers of broadcasting that has to be, like, world media. Their world media will come in for the finals. They may not be around for the conference finals, but you draw the attention of international media. There's a whole bunch of things about that. But I agree with you. This is not a good look for the NBA to go, if Miami wins game five, you're going to have a full week of nothing. Nothing. And
yeah,
there's only so much preview you can do, right? There's only like, okay, today we're going to break down the third string, the guys on the, like, before you know it, you've done possible matchup you can. It's only so much you can do.
All the talking head shows, they're going to gear towards, you know, what moves the needle. I mean, maybe it's something happened in baseball the night before, but you're probably going to end up start talking more about football. I mean, we're probably going to ad nauseum hear about how Aaron Rodgers took a vet day yesterday.
Yeah, right. He had a calf strain, and everybody's losing their mind.
Oh,
right?
My God.
It's... Oh, no. I'm going to go crazy. I can't believe it. It's the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and a calf strain. Oh, no. The season's in jeopardy. Like, stop. Like,
yeah.
Stop. It's stop. I know what you're doing. Cool it. It's, geez. Like, for the love of Pete.
And you just want to say to him, hey, you know what, guys? Get used to this. He's going to have lots of strains. He's old.
Exactly.
He's old. But here's the difference between right now and when the season starts. When the season starts, he'll probably play through it. Right now, he doesn't have to.
Right. Because he didn't work out in an OTA. We're on the back page of the New York Post freaking out.
Yep. Like, oh, Jet season's over.
Oh, no. This is not working out. Oh, I can't believe it.
We're giving our first round pick to the Packers because he didn't play in 60% of the games.
Oh, goodness gracious. You're right.
Or we get to keep our first round. I don't even remember what it was.
I got to tell you, though, I think the one underlooked aspect of what's going on with the NHL and the NBA playoffs is that the city of Miami could be hosting the finals in the two sports.
Sure, yeah.
The Heat and the Florida Panthers
are
very close to getting to the finals of the NHL and the NBA.
We talked about this earlier. It's title area.
I mean, my
goodness. I can't say title town, title area, because, I mean, weren't there two other Florida, South Florida teams in a championship recently?
Yeah.
I can't really remember.
Right.
Like I watched them play or anything.
It's been a great year.
Yeah, it really has.
Really been a great year for it started with the Dolphins and their 3-point loss to the Bills with Skylar Thompson at quarterback.
Yes.
Where they almost pulled that thing out. You know? And so the run of South Florida success has been fantastic. But in the Florida Panthers, get rid of, you know, Boston's going to just push them away, push them aside. They rally from a 3-1 deficit, win that series.
Isn't
Miami Heat
like
have not
day,
been,
like,
you know, challenged yet.
Florida has played in 6 overtime games.
Yeah.
This postseason.
There's an overtime game every night in the NHL now,
yeah,
it feels like.
Yeah.
Except last
That's
night,
what you
the
do.
Golden Knights, you know, ripped the Dallas Stars apart. But, nah, all right. It feels like an overtime game all the time in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. So, yeah, if the Marlins were halfway decent, we'd have a real fun time down there. But, yeah, I mean, it's good times down in South Florida for the people of the Miami area. How many of I am curious to, like, I saw Brooks Koepka at the game the other night. He was at the game on Monday. And I was kind of curious, is, you know, winning breeds a level of enthusiasm. In the city of Miami, this is going to be similar to New York in 94. You know, the Rangers were in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Knicks were in the NBA Finals. And so you had a city that was passionate about both teams. They played in the same building. You know, it was an electric time in New York City. And not to mention the summer of 94 with O.J. Simpson, and the U.S. Open was going on at Oakmont, a bunch of other things. It was an exciting time in New York with the Knicks and the Rangers. Rangers won the Cup and the Knicks lost in 7 games to Houston. But in Miami, these two teams don't play in the same arena. They don't even play in the same part of the city. I mean, one's in Sunrise. The other one is in downtown Miami. How enthusiastic, will it feel the same? Or is it, you know, because we don't usually get a team in the NBA Finals and a team in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. We don't get that very often. And I wonder how the people in South Florida, do you have to do dual allegiance? Can you just focus on one, not the other? Focus on both? Which is more exciting? I don't know. I mean, the Miami Heat played in the finals in the Disney bubble. But, of course, with LeBron and Dwayne Wade, and they've won championships. They won a championship before LeBron James, and they won two with him. But the Florida Panthers went to the Stanley Cup Finals in 1996. They lost to Colorado, and they haven't been there since. So, well, it'll be interesting to see how the people in South Florida react to the Panthers. I mean, it's you know, good times. So Vegas and Miami are likely to be the Stanley Cup matchup. Again, driving Canada absolutely crazy.
Yep.
You know. So, and the Vegas Golden Knights, the first professional team to crack into the city of Las Vegas. This will be their second finals appearance if they close out Dallas, and they should. They're up 3-0. This will be their second Stanley Cup playoff appearance, a finals appearance in like five years? I mean, they've been great. So good for them.
Hockey works. I mean, you know, that in that case, hockey works in the desert.
Yeah, I guess so. I used to go to Las Vegas Thunder games. They were a minor league team. You could hear shift changes being called from like the upper deck.
No, I remember going to the L.A. Ice Dogs.
Oh, remember the – oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
L.A. Ice Dogs. And I always asked – we couldn't wait for this one player. I can't remember his name, but all his job was just an enforcer. That's all he did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He jumped on the ice, and he just pounded people. And that's what I came there for.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the Thunder used to play at the Thomas and Mack Center. And my wife and I went to a bunch of games. We got tickets from friends and whatnot. And we go all the time. And seriously, it was like, buy one, get a whole section free.
Yeah,
like
pretty
was,
much, yeah.
You know, it's like, right? And the games were exciting and they were fun. And they were, you know.
Yeah, and they're in an arena and you're having a good time.
But it was always weird living in Vegas because you like at the time I lived there, and I lived there for 3 years, so early part of my career, it was inconceivable that a pro team would be in town. Like you would toy with the idea, but if you were smart enough to know what the politics were at the time, you knew it wasn't going to happen, right? You knew like David Stern was like, you could have a team as long as nobody bets ever in any NBA game. And people were like, nah, that's not happening. thanks David, but we're not that interested in having a team. Good Lord. And you knew the NFL was like, gambling must be rooted out of society completely. And you're like, well, we're not getting an NFL team anytime soon. It was just this disdain for the gambling industry. And you knew like that's the lifeblood of this city, obviously. And it's not just craps and roulette and blackjack. It was sports books. I mean, it was a big business and they weren't going to bend and no one was coming. Finally, the NHL, that was the one league that went, yeah, we don't care. Like we'll make it work. And when I was there in the 90s, that's the one thing that the locals, the guys who had been in the market a long time, they would always say, we would get an NHL team before we get any of the others. And it happened. And once it happened, and once these leagues started to go, yeah, gambling's not that bad, actually. It's actually pretty good, and people like it, and we're going to embrace it. We're going to partner with these companies. Then the floodgates opened up, and now they're going to have them all except the NBA, and the NBA is probably coming at some point. We'll probably be there at some point. That T-Mobile Arena is nice enough to have an NBA team. And so maybe, I don't know if it's an expansion is on the horizon, but maybe there's a relocation. I don't know. But Congratulations, Vegas Golden Knights. One win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. They're second in franchise history, and a franchise history that's not been long. All right, we'll get to some NFL news coming up in Hour 3, and then some baseball with Gabe Lax as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.